Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Each week, our hosts will be interviewing local, regional, and national business leaders to give you an inside peek into how they lead their business to success in the ever-competitive business climate.
Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Today, I have a very special guest, Jeff Giannacovo, is a compassionate advocate for small businesses, and his latest endeavor, The Space for Leadership, delves into empathetic leadership transformation power. Co-owner of Gardner's Mattress and More, Jeff also emphasizes creating space for employees to heal personal struggles, offering a fresh perspective on leadership's essence. His innovative marketing concepts have impacted over 500 retail businesses, earning recognition in Forbes and Target Marketing. Jeff's mission is to empower business owners to become true investors in their enterprises, leading them to a fulfilling big ticket life. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show, Lance. Really
appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure. I mean, you were just such an interesting, you had such an interesting background. We're going to get into some fairly deep stuff today, which I really like. Because I try to bring that kind of flavor into the business world. It's hard to separate personal and business, and it all affects us, and we're all dealing with trauma. Everybody needs to face their trauma. I hope we'll get into that. But before we do, tell us how you got here. I'm always curious about the entrepreneurial journey that everybody has. Some people, I'm a reactionary of not growing up in a family, and growing up with a family with no entrepreneurs. And then it was like, oh, wow, that's me, actually. And some people who grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, and they just, you know, keep doing that. Where's your start?
Well, mine was a perfect straight line.
Right? Next time you tell that joke, you could even pause further because I was waiting to laugh.
Oh, I stepped on the laugh. Jerry Seinfeld says never step on the laugh. Look, most entrepreneurs, it's messy. There's all these twists and these turns. You know, long story short, I was exposed to entrepreneurship on my dad's side of the family. My grandfather actually is responsible for that little pour spout in your laundry detergent bottle that's in your laundry room. But because of his stubbornness, I'm not on a boat right now. Mm-hmm. I'm here doing a podcast because he turned Procter & Gamble away. And, you know, so I've been exposed to entrepreneurship. I'm exposed to good. I've been exposed to the missteps. And, you know, I went out on my own, got in the corporate world for literally 18 months, got spit up, chewed out, and decided... Mm-hmm. Not for me. I want to lead myself. And that was 24 years ago. And here I am today.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Well, let's kind of jump into the trauma part of this. So one of the questions I want to ask you is, you know, about people's past, because that's what you're dealing with, and you're in what you do and try to coach people running businesses is for them to get them to understand their past, which can actually end up being their superpower, especially when it's traumatic. And that's a big sentence to unpack. So, you know, there's been this reoccurring theme in my life over the past year for sure. And that's been me saying it and close loved ones finally realizing it, where they're like, hey, your trauma is not my trauma. Mm-hmm. It's not fair for you to push your trauma onto me. And what should we be doing with our trauma? We have to face our trauma. It almost seems like no one gets out of their childhood with getting a little bit of it from their mom and dad. Mom and dad are not perfect. Mom and dad are just trying to do their best. And at the end of the day, they're humans, and they're going to say the wrong thing at some time and hurt you. They're going to do the wrong thing at some time and hurt you. No one is without sin here. So how do you coach people into doing that, accepting their past, finding their superpower if they address their trauma? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, boy, we could spend our entire time just on this, but to immediately dial it in for your listeners, right? Because you're largely speaking to architects and people who design things, and there's a lot of choices and there's a lot of personal emotions involved, positive ones, right? But sometimes you might hit a point in your recommendations and you get this feedback that seemingly comes out of left field. That is almost always going to be a expression of something negative in that person's past. They're viewing your interpretation of their dreams, their desires, their wishes as pushback on what they want, but it's just manifesting differently. And it's coming out in this negative way. And in my book, Space for Leadership, I write about it. It's a chapter called New Cuts Don't Equal Old Scars. So that judgment, which is what they perceive in your tweak or your concept or what you're presenting, and this works for clients, this works for employees, this works for spouses and kids, their perception is that this judgment, this thing that isn't what I wanted and you're not listening to me, is that old scar, right? Is this new cut that feels subconsciously just like this old thing that happened. Okay. And so I'll share my past, and I want to forewarn people. And I want to preface it by saying my past, my trauma is not meant to weigh with you. It's not meant to say I'm here and you're there. Whatever you're carrying with you is yours. And I want you to understand that that baggage is yours. And someday it feels easy to carry, like a little easy clutch or a fanny pack or a man purse. Other days, it's a big old nasty rucksack that's dirty and stinky from sweat and the straps cut into your shoulders. But you're carrying it, and that's okay. Thing is, we've got to understand how to carry it. So what I carry is immense childhood sexual abuse for a period of 5 years that spanned two countries. I was born in Canada, moved to the U.S., and that person still decided to come and visit our family on their family's vacations. This was a family friend. And so for me, that obvious trauma is tremendous. It weighed on me for a long, long time. Once I understood it, and that it didn't have to define me and that I wasn't alone. I think so many people feel they're alone.
Yeah.
In this trauma, especially leaders. Like, how could you possibly share that with your team? Well, I have. Now, again, I'm not here to weigh me to you. You're going to have to lean into this in your way where you're comfortable. But understand, everyone around you has that clutch, that fanny pack, that suitcase of baggage that doesn't roll easily through the airport. It's the old school two wheels you got to drag. And then other days, it's that rucksack. And sometimes they bring to you the problems that are easy to handle, and sometimes they're not. But as a leader, like it or not, we're responsible for this human experience of the people we're leading. And we need to pick that up. And I think if more leaders pick that up, we got a better world.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you pointed out that one of the reasons why people suffer so much and never sort of get out of their own little cycle of things in their head is they just think, it's only me. Like, mm-hmm. That's just like so crazy. Important to point out. I wish my dad could listen to this. I don't know if he ever would. Because that's what I try to explain to him multiple times is that, like, your trauma from your dad is not unique. It's actually ubiquitous. Like I said, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, mom and dad, when they're raising you, even if you're only one parent, whatever, or multiple, they're going to say there's just something that's going to be said or done that is just sticks with you in sort of that kind of way. You have another phrase that you talk about and you say, it's okay to accept the past if it's for us instead of that it happened to us. What does that mean? It sounds like some kind of like ownership, some self-ownership or acceptance. I mean, powerful
acceptance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to test a lot of people. What I'm about to share. I think the ultimate definition of belief in faith is accepting this statement. God will do no harm. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to be religious to have just heard that statement. And some people will say that is not a statement that could ever exist because how do you address children who, like, this is so tragic. There was a birthday party that just came across my newsfeed. I think it was in Maryland. Family took their kids to a birthday party. Two children, 5 and 8, went to their friend's birthday party. Drunk driver, a car drives through the wall of the party place and kills the two children. Hmm. Same family. Terrible enough that it's one, but yet two.
Yeah.
Some people say, how do you possibly, Jeff, rectify that statement? God will do no harm. I can't rectify it for that family. What I can share is my personal experience. And so my belief with that statement is that while I was within evil, I felt evil, experienced it, framed my life for a long time. Here's what I know. I stopped that cycle. I was strong enough to shoulder that evil because two other young men were not, and ultimately they committed suicide at the ages of 14 and 15. And this was in a small farm town, central Ontario, Canada, where things like that don't happen. I was placed in that path. I was, you know, in a way that it's like, I have the shoulders here to talk about this openly, freely, as I do. I wish I would have answered that call sooner in life. I might have helped more people. Every time I do these kinds of shows, I invariably have people reach out and connect, and I welcome those connections. If we share the same past or similar, we don't have to be on the same wavelength of similar traumas. If you just want to share, I'm here. But I'm meant for this journey, you know. Now, would I have preferred a different journey? Of course. But I'm also where I'm at today. I have my wife, I have my sons. And you think in life, all these little things, all these little nooks and crannies, right? That unstraight line of life. Here I am today. And I've stepped into that belief that I've got these strong shoulders to carry it. And that is my superpower throughout all of this that's happened.
Yeah. Powerful. Which is best, being a victor or a survivor?
I think a victor. Right? I mean, to me, survivor is you're just kind of maintaining. You kind of still have this shell around you. Victor means you've overcome something.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to some leadership stuff. Why as leaders do you think we're given issues from others, and why should we take them on?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's this thing through life isn't easy, right? I kind of opened with that straight line of success of entrepreneurship. Yeah. The people we lead aren't living a straight line life, right?
Yeah.
You know, again, I go back to an example in my personal life. Here at home, you know, we had the day before Thanksgiving, we had a student in our high school, a child that I coached in youth football, had him for 1 year, you know, family was very disconnected, disjointed. He pulls a knife in school day before Thanksgiving. I saw the video. Terrible. So imagine you're employing those parents that Monday after Thanksgiving. Yeah. What type of leader are you? Are you the place that's in created a culture where that those parents are going to come to you and say, hey, Lance, I had something terrible happen before Thanksgiving, and it took me a few days to realize the gravity of it all. Here's what's happened. I'm likely going to be in court. I'm going to be making a lot of phone calls. There's going to be a lawyer. I'm going to need time away from work because lawyers and police and courts do business 9 to 5. Can you be empathetic and understand that? Like, have you created a culture where those parents are going to come to you that way? Or are they going to hold that in? Right? Like, life is a struggle. And as leaders and as business owners, I know we didn't necessarily sign up for this. This isn't our thing. We're here to do our business. But if our business involves people, we got to be understanding of that.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you, it's not, so like in order to do, I'm just running through the scenario in my head that you just painted. And I thought, okay, is my business like that? Could my employees come up to me and tell me a personal issue without that's probably the key. That's the start of it, right? Where they felt comfortable enough.
Yes.
To be able to come tell me, right? Can you unpack like how you, are there some strategies that you help with business owners foster that? Because it's like a fine line between just coming out and saying it and it sort of being apparent. I mean, or is it just you're looking for opportunities to show that you're open in that way? I mean, maybe it's all of the above.
I think it is all of the above. And I think tactically it goes down to what's the structure of your company? You know, how much leverage, how much initiative are you giving your people? What is their input allowed in their day? You know, if they are just simply completing a list of tasks every day, and that's all they're allowed to do, all they're allowed to think about, you shut down conversation about those tasks. How in that situation, and that's a pretty rough situation, let's bring it down to maybe a more everyday level. My dog, my beloved pet dog or pet cat just died. And it's, you know, it's really important to me. You know, as a leader, those pictures are in the office. How do you invite that conversation if you're just a taskmaster? You know, what if you just roll in when you want? You as the leader are late to meetings. You as the leader have this aura about you of perfection and excellence that's unfallible. Show your human side of leadership. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change your FinCEN report. It's not going to change who's the beneficiary on your EIN and tax statements. None of that's going to get unpacked. You're not going to pay more taxes because of it. You're not going to lower taxes because of it. What you are going to do is level up that human connection. And it's all got to start with you as the leader. Again, I get it. I own businesses. I have three distinct businesses. And nowhere is it in the corporate guiding documents of any kind to say care about people. But if you've got people in your business, it has to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It just starts with leading. I exactly. Leading by example, 100% for sure. Maybe showing a little vulnerability once in a while. I've certainly done that. What do you think holds? Go ahead.
Yeah. Just real quick. Like, I live and breathe this. My book, which tells my story, sits at our sales desk in the retail business front and center.
I love that.
My employees know about it. They've read the book. I gave a copy to each of them, signed a message to them about what I love about them. And I hope they can read this, and it gives some insight to maybe some negative experiences we've had over the years. And my customers get it and they read it and they love it. And I connect with people that I never thought I would ever connect with. And I have impact on those people. Leaders want impact. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
It's not more profit. It's not sending more widgets out the door. It's people.
Yeah. And making instantly people feel like they're not alone. I just really got to emphasize that to the audience. Like, that's just so important. Cause you can just start to forget, like you go, okay, yeah, I experienced trauma in whatever kind of way. And then if you can have that lens of, okay, I'm not alone, then you can start to forgive yourself, because that's one of the biggest hurdles to if there's stages to this, it's like forgiving yourself. Right. And essentially forgiving the other person who did the evil to you in that kind of way. And then being a warrior, like you talked about, being able to like carry that pack. Cause that was such a beautiful analogy of like, oh my gosh. Yeah. For the past 3 days, people can't hear it in my voice. Like, that's what I've been struggling with. It's like, I'm trying to not relive the past. And then all of a sudden somebody in your family who's done evil to you and then brings it up to you. And then you're like, oh man, I was carrying a man purse for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it did got to be a big rucksack. Very, very powerful. Yeah. What do you think holds back most business owners from kind of doing what you just described and unlocking their leadership and their own success?
You know, look, there's no book, you know, there's no guidebook. There's no book for dummies on this stuff. Like, where's the book for dummies on just being a human, being a leader, impacting people, right? We all learn from each other. And I think if we can drop this facade of what we're supposed to be, what we're told to be, what we're expected to be, and just try to live up to a person that no matter where people catch you on a podcast, in a book, in your business, at your kid's baseball game, is that going to be the same person through all that different media? You're not going to, like, for me, I pride myself on that fact. Like, I proudly say I'm kind of like a closet redneck. Like, tomorrow I'm speaking to a group. I said, hey, I just want to know, I want to be present and I want to do my part to honor your stage you're giving me on this platform. And I'm going to be up on my campsite and I'll stay home. But like, I get to my campsite throughout the summers, 1 to 3 days a week on my own to think and plan, and all the businesses run. But I can do some connected work up there to the internet. We got good cell signal, but I don't have this like in a studio setting like this.
Yeah.
And I said, so if this video is going to be upcycled and up-purposed, I'll stay home and I'll just go up after, you know, but if I can be there, you're going to see this authenticity that's drawn to you, to me. And that's why you invited me. And I think it'd be cool. And so wherever you are, make sure people are prepared for that person. They're going to see that person. That's, to me, one of those key ingredients in how you unlock this power. And it really is power, because you never have to worry about, oh, I'm not in the suit and tie at the baseball game, and I was looking to get money from that person for the business or for the fundraising or whatever. And now I'm all locked up. I can't possibly talk to them because I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. Right? Like, that's one small example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Empathy is just so important. I had an author on the show maybe 2 years ago, something like that. And she her book is, sorry to plug another book here, but it's called Train Your Empathy. And it kind of changed my life. Not because I didn't have empathy, but because it actually defined for me what I had been told I didn't have for a long time, because it would drive me crazy. I would hear this from my ex-wife: "You have no empathy." And then I would go, "Ah, but it seems like I do a lot of listening in business. It seems like I'm trying to understand my clients, and I'm designing their literal custom homes for them based on some of their trauma, right? Of like living in a crappy house and all this sort of stuff." So important, much different than sympathy. The sympathy kind of comes maybe later after you understand, you know, you're seeking to understand and doing the empathetic stuff. You do a lot of similar stuff like us, Jeff, with your businesses, and I applaud you for it. And that is trying to provide 5-star experiences, and then you get the 5-star reviews, and that's where we're at in this world, right? And I try to, and we have this, we have a meeting every morning. It's called a 2-second lean meeting. It's on the heels of Paul Acker's book. And we try to reemphase, like, if we get a 5-star review, it's a win, and we praise everybody publicly for getting that. Like, we're going to do good design no matter what. That's at the base. Yeah. It's what's the experience that we're providing to the client in order to get, you know, have them feel it, and then for us to feel it back when we earn that online review in that kind of way. But I would love to hear your experience about it. You know, what is it about that 5-star experience and culture that can unlock the success for businesses? And maybe you could tell us a story about how it did that for yours.
Yeah. I mean, I frame everything I do through this clip I heard from Tony Bennett, right? Like, famed singer. Mm-hmm. I think now he might have had it under his belt now 8,000. When I heard it was 5,000 shows in Vegas. Okay. Which, if you think about that, that's 15 years every night. Okay. Which doesn't happen. So it's probably more like 20 or 25 years. And they said, "Tony, how do you put on such a great show?" He says, "Look, yeah, I've got 5,000 shows. Okay. I can do this in my sleep. But if I did it in my sleep, it wouldn't be as great for that person who's caught one show. So I lean into it and I pour every ounce of energy that I have into having 5,000 incredible shows." And that soundbite stuck with me. And it reminds me, we're not our customer. Yes, you design great houses. Your team can do it like that. But your customer's done it once.
Yeah.
In the retail business, they buy a new sleep system once every 10 years at best, on average. Some people, it's like 20 years. A lot's changed. If we try to immediately speak and have the customer meet us where we are, that's a real problem. We need to meet our people where they are. And that statement transcends selling. It transcends relationships. It transcends employee-leader relationships. We got to meet our people where they are. We got to get on that same page. We got to understand the motivations. The 5-star experience, if anything keeps me up at night, it's that, because I earn that reputation one sale at a time. To go back to the Tony Bennett quote, like, if we give a 4-star experience to that person, I feel let down. For me, it's like all in, 5 or nothing. That's what we want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly, but right back to the empathy again. You're like, oh yeah. What am I selling? Service or product? Doesn't matter. Right. And then, Okay, I'm selling one or the other. How often does that person buy that? How often is that person engaging with that? So what does it mean? It's self-reflection too, because you're going, okay, I do this every day. I have to remind my employees of that quite a bit. And it's sometimes myself too, where I'm like, we're swimming in this every day. We have to slow it down. Or make it more clear, or be more patient. It's a tough business. Like anybody who's aiming for that kind of experience, you're setting yourself up for it's like the challenges get even steeper, but then the rewards get even steeper too, in a good way. I mean, it seems like there's almost a direct correlation in that respect.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many business owners end up with a high paying job versus the true rewards in business ownership? And I would love for you to define, what do you think the true rewards are versus a high paying job?
I mean, I think the true reward is whatever, and so few people have this properly clarified for themselves. It's kind of like my tagline: life and business on your terms. You know, I know exactly what I want and what I don't want. People have told me, Jeff, grow gardeners. There's no reason you can't have 20 locations. And I hear that and I want to throw up. I have zero interest in that. I don't want that kind of an empire. I don't want that kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that kind of exposure. Could I have it? 100%. 100%. If I put the call out to my vendors today, I would have enough money in seed money committed in floor models and opening dollar expenses committed to go do that. Okay. I would have to remove about 80% of what makes us special to manage that. I would be far closer to, say, a large national chain store than I would what we do. And I don't want that. Because you can't manage all the touch points that we have. You know, to kind of relate it to your company, your audience, I don't want a modular two-piece home that drives down the highway slapped together by the lowest bidder in the local town. I want my dream home. I don't want to just sell a rectangle and execute that every day across 20 units. I want to impact people in the community in which I live and serve and make our community more productive, happier, well-rounded so that couples leave home not fighting. So mm-hmm. if you were that couple that had your children killed, you didn't leave yelling at them as they went out the door. That's the purpose I'm living for. Tomorrow when I go to my campsite, I can go without stress. I'm unplugged, focused on the work that I want to do. So many people own their job. Their business owns them. They can't leave. They can't go on vacation. Mm-hmm. They go on vacation, but they take a laptop. That's terrible.
Horrible.
I don't want any part of that at all, ever.
Yeah.
You know, I have a 96 F-250 truck that I drive. I love it. They're like collector trucks. It's so stupid. These things, like, I love it because that's the year I graduated 97 of high school. But like mm-hmm. when those trucks came out, man, they were cool.
Yeah.
Everybody loved them. Love that truck. People look at me like, Jeff, you traded your red truck for that one? My red one was a 2019 F-150 loaded. Thing mm-hmm. was a mess. The technology was bad. I'm like, I'm going to what I love.
Yeah.
And I went to that truck. And I call it grumpy because it's a grumpy old diesel truck. But I love it. And I've had people want to throw me big money at that truck.
I bet.
That's all life by design. It's exactly what you want. I'm not a slave to any of this stuff at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you can't unplug. That's when the business owns you. That's when you own a job.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's a balance, right? Because like there's, you have to stay plugged at a certain level. You know, we're not, because you, the touch points, right? Like you said, I have to stay plugged in enough, but then I need to be able to delegate, comfortably mm-hmm. delegate and be mature enough as a business owner to do that delegation and feel comfortable with the staff you have in that kind of way. And then it all goes back to kind of the stuff we're talking about at the beginning. Well, once you delegate to those people, then they have to feel comfortable enough to bring those problems to you. And then you solve the problems. And that's just how this works. And that's how this yeah. works. Like, it's a really beautiful relationship that you end up having with employees in that kind of way, or business partners. When yeah. it's just an open, more democratic dialogue, and it's not so top heavy and, you know, CEO greedy and everything. So thanks for that answer, Jeff.
Yeah.
I have two questions as we run up on the half hour here. I ask every guest. First one is, knowing what you know now, and if you could go back in time when you first started your business, what is one piece of advice you give your former self?
Invest in people at a level you're very uncomfortable with.
Good answer right away. I'm only laughing because I was like, wow, he just nailed it. Some people pause for like 30 seconds with that one. I would agree. Last question here, Jeff, and mm-hmm. by all means, please give us a plug for the book where people can pick it up. I actually was looking for the audio version. Didn't find
Don't
or anything
have
like
that yet.
Okay. Well, when you do, please email me. I will pick it up. Mm-hmm. I'm ADHD. I have to do it that way.
Yep.
Where can people find, follow you if they want to get in touch with you about your businesses, about what you do, and then the Space for Leadership book?
Yeah. So the simplest place to go, you don't have to know the name, spell the name, Giannakovo. Just go to thejeffg.com. That's thejeffg.com. That's kind of the hub of my world. Anything you jammed on, you can click the button and get more. If you want the book, thejeffg.com/book, it's right there. Go to Amazon, buy it. Let me know you bought it with your order number, and you'll get some really great bonuses to go with the book.
Beautiful. That's how I should have announced you at the beginning. The real Jeff G. That's fantastic. Yeah. Jeff, thank you so much for your time today. This was a very providential discussion, especially even for me personally. So I really appreciate your time.
I'm so glad to have that.
Yeah. Thank you.